The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Open your Bibles to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Beginning at verse 1. And today I'm reading out of the Authorized King James Version of the Bible for certain emphasis. All right, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, these were the disciples of Apollos. And he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe?" Please notice, these disciples were believers. And Paul asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is any Holy Ghost." Glory to God. And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then Paul said, "Verily, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Everybody see that? When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Have any of you ever felt in your walk with God this emptiness that comes from time to time? Have you ever felt a void? You just felt like there was a vacuum there in your walk with God. You just felt like something was missing. Anybody ever felt that other than me? You felt like something is missing here. Like Apollo's disciples, we must stop living our lives as if we have not heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. What am I saying? We must stop living our lives as though something is missing. That's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes today. Something is missing. Something is missing. Why am I feeling this emptiness inside? I know that I love the Lord and the Lord loves me. Why am I feeling this void or this vacuum? In the same way that nature abhors a vacuum, so does God. God doesn't want any empty spaces in our lives, let alone in our relationship with him. Could something be missing? Is something missing? Could it be the power of the Holy Ghost? How many still with me here? Could it be the power of the Holy Ghost? The power of the Holy Ghost wasn't just for those in the Bible in the first century, but the power of the Holy Ghost is for you and I, even in this day and this time, in the 21st century. How many hear what I'm saying? We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Just like an automobile, when it doesn't have fuel, it runs on empty. We don't need to run on empty. We don't need to have void places in our lives and a sense of a vacuum that's unfilled. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Could it be that we're missing the power of the Holy Ghost? Now, it all began with what Jesus taught his disciples. How many are disciples of Christ other than me? Say amen if you're a disciple of Christ. Then this message is for you. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without a comforter. I will pray the Father to send you another comforter who will abide with you forever. How long is forever? This was Jesus' promise to his disciples. He said, I will personally pray to my Father to send you another comforter who will abide with you forever. Jesus was saying, I'm praying to the Father to send you another like me, another helper, another counselor. How many ever needed some help from time to time? You needed some help. How many ever needed a word of wisdom? You need some counsel from the Lord. Jesus said, I am not leaving you without that comforter. You will have a counselor. You will have a helper. This word comforter is the word parakletos. And the word simply means someone to walk alongside to help. Oh my God, I need some help up in here. I don't know how you do it, but I couldn't make it without his help. I couldn't make it in my marriage without his help. I couldn't have made it as a father without his help. I couldn't have made it trying to manage my household, sometimes having more muff than money, without his help. But oftentimes we want to live as if we haven't heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. Is something missing? Jesus personally said to his disciples, I will take it upon myself and pray to my Father to send you another comforter who will abide with you forever. The power of the Holy Ghost is not just for church services. The power of the Holy Ghost is just not for when you're desperate in need of something. The power of the Holy Ghost is when you, it's for when you walk on your job. Come on. When you're going shopping, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. I can give you testimony after testimony that through the power of the Holy Ghost, we were able, Joyce and I were able to get everything we needed for our kids, even when we didn't have much money. Sometimes the power of the Holy Ghost would speak, and he would say, go to the most expensive store. But the natural mind said, you don't want to go there. Go to Bargain City. Go to Bargain City and get things cheap. But the Holy Ghost said, go to JCPenney. And we walk in JCPenney with just a little money. And we got five kids that need winter coats. Don't you tell me the Holy Ghost ain't real. As soon as we walked to the rack, they had five coats in all my children's sizes on sale, and we had more than enough money to pay for it. This is what Jesus was telling his disciples. I will pray the Father to send you another like me. Jesus was his disciples' teacher, their helper. He was their counselor when he was here on earth. But he says, I'm going away. But when I go away, I'm going to pray to my Father to send you another helper, another counselor who's going to abide with you forever. Then in John chapter 14, in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come unto you. How many ever experienced the Lord coming to you? Some of you know what that is when you're praying. And the Lord comes to you in prayer. Sometimes you're minding your own business, you're not thinking about anything, and all of a sudden the Lord will come to you. But this is the promise. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. That word comfortless is the word orphan. Jesus promised not to leave us like orphans. Now, I know a thing or two about orphans because I minister to orphans every time I go to Africa. We support orphans in this church. Let me tell you something about an orphan. An orphan doesn't have resources. An orphan doesn't have a father or a mother. An orphan doesn't have anything for the most part. This is why they're in the orphanage. They got to depend on the largesse of somebody else, an NGO or a local church like us, to help them eat, to help them have clothes, to help them aspire to higher education. An orphan doesn't have anything. But Jesus said, I will not leave you like orphans. So why do we live like orphans? Why do we live like we don't have any help? Why do we live like we don't have a counselor? Why do we live like we don't have any power? He said, I will come to you. But have you waited on the Lord so he can come to you with Holy Ghost power? Then he went on to tell his disciples in the same discourse. And he's teaching this in different angles and different ways because he wanted them to get this. He didn't want his disciples to be like Apollo's disciples who didn't know very much about the Holy Ghost. In fact, they knew nothing. They only knew what Apollos taught them. And Apollos could only teach them what he knew. You cannot give what you don't have. Come on. You cannot give what you don't have. And Apollos taught his disciples everything he knew. But he just knew a little bit about Jesus. But he didn't know anything about Holy Ghost power. But there was something Paul saw in those disciples. There was something perhaps that Paul heard that prompted him to ask the question, what kind of Christians are y'all? They didn't have any power. So Paul said, didn't you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe? Paul was looking at those disciples saying, something is missing. Something is missing. Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe? And they says, we have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Why are we living like that? You've heard the truth. You know the truth. You know there's Holy Ghost power available to you. So why do you live without tapping into the power? You don't have to be a weakling. You don't have to be trampled on and beat down in this life. You can be the head and not the tail. How many hear what I'm saying? But you need Holy Ghost power. So Jesus, in the same discourse, in the same conversation, then he says to his disciples, in verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And when he comes, he will teach you all things. Oh, my God. He will bring all things to your remembrance. What has the Holy Ghost taught you lately? The Holy Ghost wants to teach you, empower you. Jesus says, when he comes, he will teach you all things. And then he says he'll bring all things to your remembrance. How many times we hear the word of the Lord? And then we're faced with a situation. We're faced with a challenge. We're in a crisis. But the word escapes us. We forget about what God said. We forget about standing on the word of God. We allow human nature and our emotions to overtake us. But the Holy Ghost, his ministry is to bring that word to our remembrance. The Holy Ghost is to teach us how to apply that word in our situation. And the Holy Ghost got a way of bringing the word to your remembrance. I'm not saying you have to remember the word verbatim, but you ought to remember that principle of truth. And the principle of truth is this: God shall supply all your need. He shall supply all your need. I don't care how deep and desperate your need might be. God said, I shall supply all your need. And the Holy Ghost, He wants to come to you right in the midst of that turmoil. You're being torn emotionally and mentally because you don't see how you're going to get out of this situation. You're in a jam and you can't see yourself coming out of this place. Then all of a sudden, Holy Ghost power shows up and says, God said. Come on. And I'm bringing this to your remembrance. And all of a sudden, you get stirred up. Glory to God. You get stirred up. Glory to God. You begin to move those shoulders back. Lift that head up. Glory to God. And you know you got Holy Ghost power. Is that right? Look at somebody and say, I got Holy Ghost power. The Holy Ghost teaches us all things, the same way Jesus taught his disciples. The Holy Ghost brings all things to our remembrance. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost does for us what Jesus did for his disciples when he walked this earth. Because the Holy Ghost is that other comforter. He said, I will pray the Father to send you another like me. And so when we have the Holy Ghost, you can also say you have Jesus alive and well operating in your life. Huh? Then in chapter 16 of John's Gospel, verse 13, he's still trying to reason with his disciples, getting them to understand the value of Holy Ghost power. He said to them, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. That's prophetic. When the Holy Ghost shows you what's going to happen on the job before it happens, that's prophetic. Come on. He will show you things to come. Isn't that what apostles' disciples did when Paul laid hands on them? They spake in other tongues and they prophesied. To prophesy is to see the future. Come on. And speak what you see. That's prophetic. And Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, you can trust him. You can trust what the Holy Ghost says to you. Because he doesn't have a hidden agenda. He doesn't have a private agenda. He will not speak of himself, but only that which he hears from the Father. And I'm telling you, the Father beholds every one of us. And the Father has a word for every one of us that the Holy Ghost can impart to our hearts. He will not speak of himself, but only that which he hears. And then he'll show you things to come. Show you things to come. Sometimes he'll show you in a dream, a vision perhaps. Sometimes you'll receive a word of prophecy. And sometimes you just know it because you know it, and you don't really understand why you know it, but you know it. That's because he has showed it to you. I remember my father used to say all the time that the Holy Ghost showed him. So he said, the Spirit showed me. Huh? My father was good at this, at predicting that pregnant women are going to have a boy or a girl. He would always hit it right on the head. He would hit that nail right on the head. Well, how did you know, Reverend? The Spirit showed me. He will show you things to come. Some people are saying, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know how my future looks. With Holy Ghost power, he shows you things to come. He shows you things to come. And then it's up to you to believe him and act accordingly. If the Holy Ghost shows you something about your life in the future, then today you got to act as though it's so. You got to act as though it's so. You got to call those things that be not as though they were. That's prophetic. It's one thing to prophesy, and it's the other thing to live prophetically. You don't live your life by what you only see and what you can only hear in the natural. You live your life in the prophetic. And with Holy Ghost power, He shows you things to come. And regardless of what your circumstances are saying, you know that it's beyond that, something better than that, because the Holy Ghost showed you. Huh? Now, without Holy Ghost power, something is missing. Paul saw that. He saw that with Apollo's disciples. He saw something is missing. And he knew it was Holy Ghost power. So he's moved to ask them, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe? If you received the Holy Ghost when you believe, why are you talking like that? Why are you acting like that? And they said, well, we have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or not. Paul said, then, into what then were you baptized? Well, we were baptized into John's baptism. Paul said, well, yeah, sure, John baptized the baptism of repentance, but he also preached that you should believe on him who would come after him, which is Christ Jesus. And the same Christ Jesus they were to believe on was the one who promised them Holy Ghost power. So, without Holy Ghost power, something is missing. I remember my life as a young deacon in the Baptist church. I saw the stark difference between the time that I received the Holy Ghost and the time when I didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now, I was a good deacon in the Baptist church, which means I did party on Saturday nights, but I was in church on Sunday morning. I was a good deacon. I sat on the front row and I shouted amen when the preacher preached. I was a good deacon. But my life was without power. My life was without power. And the guy who led me to Christ, in fact, I talked to him on Tuesday of this week, the guy who led me to Christ, he was always bugging me. Couldn't get rid of this guy. We worked in the same office at IBM. He was always bothering me. I see him come one way, I would go the other way. But he tricked me. He tricked me. And the bait he used was barbecue ribs. You can talk about pork all you want, but they got me saved. Those ribs got me saved. And sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. This guy tricked me. He took me out to dinner, and I enjoyed those ribs. Then he said to me, he was driving, and I wonder why he wanted to drive. He was driving. Well, you don't mind if we stop at this little church they're having a revival. I couldn't say no. The guy just brought me dinner. I walk in that church, and my life was changed. I was already in the church, but I got saved. But he kept telling me, Jerry, there's more to it than this. You need Holy Ghost power. You see, Apollo's disciples were saved, but they didn't have Holy Ghost power. He kept telling me, you need more. God has more for you. Don't settle. God has more for every one of you. So for 2 years almost, I was seeking God to get this Holy Ghost power. But I wasn't successful because my mind wasn't right. I was still dealing with all the seeds of doubt that had been sown in my mind from the church of my upbringing. That Holy Ghost stuff went away with the apostles. That speaking of tongues stuff is of the devil. So I struggled with all that because I saw that those who had the power, their lives were much different than mine, in a better way than mine. So I'll never forget what I told the Lord. I got tired of coming up in the prayer line and nothing would happen. So I told the Lord, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. I want this power. And I don't care how you manifest it. I don't care. That was my attitude. And you know, the Lord had me fly all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota one weekend to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I thought I was going to visit a friend, but I was going to get Holy Ghost power. My friend was one of the directors of the Western Pennsylvania Church of God in Christ choir. And they were singing in West Virginia. So he said to me, Jerry, you know where the key is. Just let yourself in. And I'll be back later that night. Well, he didn't get back till Sunday. He didn't get back till Sunday. He didn't come in on Saturday like I thought he would. He didn't get back till Sunday. And it's almost 1 o'clock when he walks in. And I say, Kitty, I want to go to church. He looks at his watch and says, they're probably letting out by now. I said, I want to go. I want to go. And as I walked in that church, Pastor David Scott was making an appeal for Holy Ghost power. Anybody here want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I was the only one to respond. It was only for me. He laid hands on me. Glory to God. And I began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And I haven't stopped speaking yet. Glory to God. I'm speaking in tongues in prayer this morning. So I haven't stopped yet. That is the source of power. And I don't want to live my life like something is missing. I don't want to live life on emptiness and emptiness and in a void. I don't want to live like that. I want to live my life in a vacuum. I want to live my life being filled with His Spirit. Now, Jesus said to the disciples after His resurrection in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, He says, behold, I send upon you the promise of my Father. He says, but wait in Jerusalem, but tarry in Jerusalem. Blessed be His name.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.